Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn number 680, 680. Before all worlds the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. Hymn 680.
Thank you. together from the most holy word of God, from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and we'll read chapters 4 and 5. The second Corinthians, chapters 4 and 5. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be, that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, or it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us those portions of his most holy word and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, thou hast spared us each now to see the evening hour of another Sabbath day. Once again, enabled to be found in thy courts, this little corner of thy vineyard where thine honour dwelleth. But all may be found here this night. Perhaps one, it is like this with this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Or perhaps one, yes, there's that light that has shone into their heart and they feel to grope for the wall like the blind. And yet there's that which has shone forth. And they come like one of old. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There is that desire wrought in their heart, to be led in that way, which leadeth unto that city of habitation, whose builder and maker is God. For that one has been brought to see they have no continuing city here. It is but a sojourn, a temporary sojourn. And they have no continuing city here, but are brought to see of a truth there is that which is to come. Ah, yes, there is that which is to come. And oh, how they plead, Lord, lead me forth for that right way, that I might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. Leave it not to anything false. Leave me not to the treachery of my old deceitful heart. Leave me not to the subtlety of Satan. But oh, lead and teach me into all truth as it is in Jesus. And perhaps those lines as we felt it upon our spirit those years ago and even now. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known and witness with the blood. Oh, longing for divine reality. Ah, for something must be known and felt. We cannot die with just a form or a notion. Ah, yes, we want that which is real. We want Christ revealed to us personally, our hope of glory, to taste that he is gracious. Ah, yes, we might truly taste, handle and feel of the word of life, which is Christ, sent down from heaven. And so to remember us each, we plead this night as thou hast spared us so to do. And Lord, we plead for those that have those duties, family duties perhaps now to perform this night, and go to them where they are, and others also detained for whatever reason, go to them where they are. Those perhaps with their in their afflictions, likewise we plead that thou wouldest make one with them in their abode, or perhaps make their bed for them if it is a hospital bed. And so do remember us each, whether here or absent, but all that might be that, truly, even like those Greeks of old, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, sir, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. That is reality. That is a truly hungering and thirsting after Christ and his righteousness. And once again, we would bear before thee the dear young friends, from the babes in arms to those growing up and going on into life. Lord, remember them. What a solemn day it is in which their lot is cast. But blessed be God. What a mercy. Thou art one that changeth not. And thou dost rule and reign in heaven's high courts for good. And yes, and even as regards the generation that follows, yes, they shall likewise prove that thou art the God of all grace and the Father of mercies. They shall likewise prove that their government rests not upon their shoulders, but upon thy shoulder. And they shall prove like the hymn writer, shall they not, the fullness resides in Jesus our head, to ever abide to answer our need. Yes, and they shall prove as the apostle proved in their times and seasons as they journey on, that there will come those times when the messenger of Satan sent to buffet them. Yes, as a needs be for all these things in our life, but they shall prove, as we trust, we likewise prove, those things which our flesh dislikes, our flesh would rather not have, but thou hast appointed it. And like the apostle there, lest he should be exalted above measure. And so there is a needs be. For varied things as thou dost permit them, cause them to come. And shall we not prove that thy grace is sufficient? Thy grace is sufficient. And so we plead for our dear young ones, and may they in their young years be brought to call upon thee in their days of trouble, their times of trouble, their times of difficulty, their times of concern, their times when they're perplexed, their times when they're distressed. Perhaps they're brought to a stand at times, and even in their young years neither knowing what to do. But all may they know, like Jehoshaphat, but our eyes are up unto thee. Our eyes are up unto thee. I do remember parents as they, it is a heavy concern indeed, is it not, in our day, to counter all those vile things that are promoted. Ah, yes, how solemn it is. But grant wisdom unto parents to counter those things which are promoted and accounted as good, when in thy eyes they are an abomination, they are an evil. Ah, how solemn. But we live in a day where evil is called good and good is called evil. The law is slacked. Man does what he pleases in his own eyes. Ah, how solemn indeed. But all we plead, grant parents that help. And we often quote that out of James' epistle. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. So to remember the dear parents, and as we no doubt were brought to realise what we were to our own parents, at times cause them much anxiety. But oh, may we prove, as we seek to do that, and as regards our children, in the fear of the Lord, what a mercy we're given that strength so to do. Even in those times and scenes when we have to correct, we have to correct, and we look back to those times when we had to correct one or another of ours. And yes, it is grieving to us, naturally, is it not? But oh, when we look at that regarding the church and those of Christ's fold, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So there is a chastening of the Lord's people by Almighty God. And so we likewise, there's that needs be of chastening, correction. And so do help them, we plead. And do remember, we plead for those in the midst of life, and they find the heat and burden of the day overcomes them. At times it feels like mountain after mountain, and dark place after dark place, difficulty after difficulty. But all we plead, do grant each strength sufficient for the day. May they each be able to cast their burden upon thee. Whether it is the housewife and mother in the home, whether it is those even in their studying, but those in the midst of life that, as they labour for meat which perisheth. Lord, do enable them to roll their burdens upon thee and prove that there is a shepherd that goes before his sheep. Goes before his sheep. And to remember once again, those in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. We realise as we get older that so it must, and it does. The strength is not as what it was. Our ability, is nothing what it was either. And we proved, or we're not, we're dying creatures at best. Oh, prepare us each then for that day when time shall be no more. But each one of us, whether young or old or in the midst of life, how we need that preparation of thee. But oh, when we feel the mud-walled cottage shake, when there's that weariness of the body, weariness of the mind, whereby we find that times are wearied with the journey. But all may each prove those everlasting arms underneath them, the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellency upon the skies, the one that has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So do remember each in the even time of life we plead. And some of us realize that is so. We have come to that juncture in our lives. It is the even time. Whether we'd like to admit it or not, so it is. Yes, 80 years, and if by reason of strength it be 80, then it will be labour and sorrow. And so we plead, do grant strength to each one sufficient for the day, and do remember any with their afflictions. Lord, thou knowest. There are many afflicted in Zion. Yes, here and there, some young, some in the midst of life, and some older. And dost thou not cause these things to come? Thou dost, and we've known it in our own pathway. Thou dost cause it to come. And we've known those times of affliction for our chastening. We've known those times of affliction for our teaching. Yes, we've known those times of affliction. And it has been once again to bring us back to thy feet. To bring us back to that place where it must be said, then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. And so we plead for those in their afflictions. Sanctified all, sweeten all the pain. Perhaps there are those with those afflictions and things that regard the body. Oh, we plead, perhaps as they look upon that, and no doubt experts say, well, we cannot fully understand it. We cannot fully understand it. But what a mercy, one that fully understands. Oh, as it was sweetly made known to this one some years ago, when afflictions and difficulties seemed to follow one after another, and anxieties went with them. But all were brought to this, that thou hast an intimate knowledge of all our bodies and of our minds and our spirits. As thou didst create Adam, and formed him, and breathed into his nostrils and became a living soul. Thou knowest all about man. Thou knowest all about us. And if we're sheep of thy fold, of Christ's choosing, what a mercy. That one that cares much for his sheep. And an earthly shepherd may have an intimate knowledge and a great knowledge of his sheep and care for them as well as he can. But nothing compared to one that created his sheep, formed them, knows all about them, all the most intricate parts that man will never know of. Man will never know of, neither will he understand, but thou art that great physician. And so may it please you, perhaps one or another, enable them to fall into the hands of that heavenly physician, which is Christ. Which is Christ. And when thou wast here upon the earth, didst thou not raise even the dead to life? That is cause the blind to see, and the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. All the wonders that thou didst work amongst the children of men. And thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to remember one or another, and even to look to thee, look beyond man, and look to that one, wise indeed. All wisdom and knowledge and understanding is thine. And so to remember one and another according to their varied needs, varied concerns. Perhaps they feel, well, no one understands my case. They feel to walk in a very singular path. But may they prove, even like Job could say, he knoweth the way that I take. It was a very dark path, was it not, for Job? Thou didst permit Satan to touch him in his family, in his circumstances, in his body, but not his life. His life was hid with Christ in God. And oh, in that dark, dark, dark time. Yes, and a lonely place he was in, but not alone, although he could not perceive thee. But he could say this with living faith, he knoweth, he knoweth, fully understandeth, knows all about my case. He knoweth my case, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So remember one or another we plead, and remember the gathering of thy people here, the church and people. O Lord, we plead thy blessing upon the labours of thy servants as they come in amongst them. May there be those signs following the preaching of the word. As we look upon Zion, we look upon those desolations and the turnings aside. And we look upon the, how solemn indeed. Rebellious nature. And yes, we know we have a rebellious nature. But all to rebel against thee, against thy word. Oh, how solemn indeed, and to bring shame and reproach upon thy name and upon the head of the church, and is it not Christ? Bring shame and reproach upon the church, upon the head of the church, which is Christ. And oh, how solemn indeed if we've been brought to see Christ is precious. Solemn indeed. But oh, we plead like this, ever keep us. It brings us to this, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Keep me every step of the way. Keep me in the tender fear of the Lord. Oh, may it please him. We might ever see sin is exceedingly sinful. Exceedingly sinful. And in that hour of temptation, may we be brought to look upon one whom we have pierced. Whom we have pierced. A precious Christ in his sufferings, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and upon the cross at Calvary. Shall not then sin be exceedingly sinful? Nothing to be trifled with, nothing to be thought little of, but exceedingly sinful. And so we plead for Zion, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And oh, we plead to remember this guilty land and nation. Ah, the solemnity of it. We sin those sins, do we not? For which thou didst destroy those cities of the plain. They're legalized by the law of the land. Oh, the solemnity of it. The law is slacked. Evil is called good and good is called evil. Oh, do turn the tide, we plead. Have mercy upon us. Show our leaders what they ought to do. May there be yet even the repealing of those laws which are so contrary to thy word, to thy laws. Ah, yes, we are brought to this. Remember this guilty land. Have mercy upon us. And oh, stir us up to plead more earnestly. To cry concerning the abominations done in the land. And seek that thou hast remember us and have mercy upon us. But all we thank thee that thou hast thus far in wrath remembered mercy. But we seem to add sin to sin. And with that we see in our day such confusion of face. Confusion. And this confusion and giving into sin begets more confusion and then more sin. It is a torrent. Lord, we plead, do stem yet that evil tide. Where will it end? Where will it end? But oh, do stem that evil tide. And may yet eyes be opened and deaf ears unstopped. They might see that this is contrary to the word of God. We think of even a national church. It seems to have no knowledge of the word of truth. It has no knowledge of God. It has no knowledge of one that is holy, holy, holy. And thy law is, even amongst the church, the national church, it is disregarded regarding certain things now. Ah, they say we have changed. Things have moved on. We become more tolerant. And they put it all down to love and compassion. But our sin is ever sin. It cannot change. Man cannot alter it or dress it up. And in thine eyes, ah, yes, in thine eyes, what must it seem? What must it seem? So we plead in wrath, do remember mercy. And as a nation, may there be yet through those things which we see in the nations of the earth, perhaps it is not, and we thank thee for it, that conflict which is in that part of Europe, it is not because they have sinned more than us. And like when the Tower of Babel fell, it is not because those that had sinned in a greater way than those that had not been in that tower. But oh, we've all sinned and come short. May it please, it might be through these things, an awakening, a turning again, a turning again to the truth as it is in thy word, by these terrible things in righteousness. Ah, we plead then, open the eyes of the blind, unstop deaf ears. And may there be yet those brought to call upon the name of the Lord. Ah, yes, and even as regards those vile, abominable laws, there may be even that moved in the heart of those that have the rule over us. Ah, yet, if it could please thee to change these laws. Ah, not fearing men's frowns, nor seeking to court their smiles. But, O Lord, we commit it all unto thee. We commit it all unto thou dost reign, and all men's hearts are in thy hands, and thou canst cause even men of the world to do that which is for the good of thy church and thy people. But now, O Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies and thy favours. We've lacked nothing. Great has been thy faithfulness, and thy mercies new every morning. But now, O Lord, we plead thy help to labour in thy name. I'm but an empty earthen vessel. Pour in once again, we plead, that we can pour out. And may there be a portion for seven and a portion for eight. Seven and empty away. Feed us with that food convenient for our souls. And perhaps it may be as that bread cast upon the waters, found after many days. Pardon and forgive then our sins, our failings, our often shortcomings, where we failed in our asking. Do be pleased and make up in giving. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. Hymn 690.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and the fourth chapter, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in the fourth chapter, reading verses 5 and 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And especially that verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And I believe the apostle could speak from that which he had experienced. And when we read of which was wrought by Almighty God for that change and conversion of Saul, when he went about thinking he did God's service. Yes, you know where we read in here the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter, ninth chapter, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Yes, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And yes, he thought he did God's service. But he knew not that in that divine reality, he had a form of godliness which had no power. No doubt, when men looked upon him, they would have had him in esteem, certainly some of his fellow countrymen. But the Church of God, the name of Saul, and it was not unto one that was commanded to go down to him, Ananias. He'd heard of this man and how he was. Yes, but we read regarding Saul, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. A light from heaven. Yes, by nature we're in darkness. We have no knowledge of that which is of divine reality, of Christ in his beauty, for we see no beauty in him. By nature we despise Christ. We may speak of his name, can mention his name. There are many that name the name of Christ, but they do not depart from iniquity. There's not that wrought in them. But there's a change wrought in the heart. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Yes, that light from heaven. When you look at that, I know I quote it often, but it's a precious truth indeed concerning Christ. And we read at the beginning of John's Gospel, the Word, which we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Ah, yes, until that is wrought in the heart, we dwell in darkness. We have no knowledge of the truth in the heart. We may give assent to gospel truths and the truths contained in the word of God with the lip. But we know nothing in the heart. And why is that we know nothing in the heart? Because we remain in darkness. The light hasn't shone to reveal what we are and what we have need of. It hasn't ransacked the corners of the heart and brought a poor sinner to see his desperate need. Desperate need of what? A saviour, a redeemer, an offering. Ah, yes, he has need of an offering, which is the Lamb of God, which is Christ. Yes, but that has taken place. That has been performed. It is accounted, is it not, in the Gospels? We have the Word. We have the Word before us. But all we want, that made unto us, in the light of it, in the glorious light of it, in the darkness of what we once were, yes, and that light shines, it reveals a need, but it also reveals to a poor sinner what Christ is and the suitability of Christ. And they begin to see through the lattice of the gospel something which they'd never known before. Yes, they've heard his name, and they've heard perhaps many a sermon preached in Christ's name. But until that time comes, the light shines and their understanding is opened. Then they're brought to see, little by little, such a beauty in Christ, a suitability in Christ, and Christ becomes their desire. And yes, like then the apostle, we go back to regards the beginning of John's gospel. In him, that's in Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness comprehended it not. Well, in the margin it reads, overcame. And when that light shines, that darkness cannot overcome it. That light, when it shines, and it will be like this, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. He who hath begun that good work will carry it on and finish it. If that light has shone, so it will. He who hath begun that good work shall continue it, and there shall be a continuation until that one is brought into that knowledge of Christ. Ah, yes, and it will be to the joy and rejoicing of their soul. And so going back now to Saul, a light shone suddenly, round about him from heaven. From heaven. Not a light from beneath, because that's darkness. No light will ever come from beneath. But that light which cometh from heaven, which is from God, that appointed time. And it had that effect upon him. He fell to the earth and in that way prostrated himself. He could not remain standing. For he heard a voice. He heard a voice. That voice will come with power and with majesty. But also, yes, it will have that effect. It will have that effect. Ah, yes, going back to what we said a little earlier, some can name the name of Christ, but they've never known that effect. They can speak it from the lip. But oh, what a mercy when it has that effect and it changes the heart. It changes the heart. There's this that brought him into, yes, that conviction of what he was doing. The voice, he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, Why persecutest thou me? Yes, you may say, well, I've not persecuted Christ. I've not persecuted the Lord's people. But I believe this is regards even the one that lies in wickedness. For that's how Saul was. That persecution was because he was yet a servant of Satan, a blind slave of Satan, serving the prince of the power of the air. Ah, yes, that prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And so it comes in that individual way. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The shepherd knows his sheep. And he will call them all by name. Yes, he knew him by the name of Saul. We know that was changed and he became known as Paul. The Lord knows them that are his. Ah, yes, and he'll put forth his hand in that time appointed. And when we read that account of the conversion of Saul, there were many with him. Many with him. But we read, he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Ah, may willing in the day of the power of God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Yes, what wilt thou have me to do? A complete turnaround. Complete change. And yes, as we read that account there, we read as regards those others that were with him. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And I believe when we read concerning what Paul, when he accounted of his conversion a little later on, if I can find the chapter in the Acts, where we read as regards what Saul, when he recounted, Paul then recounted that which took place. And he said about that great light, suddenly about noon, a time appointed, there shone a light, shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And so it goes on there, and it says, and Paul says this, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice. They heard not the voice of him that spake to me. But he heard the voice. It was appointed for him. Coming back to that which spoke just now, I believe we quoted it, my sheep hear my voice. Ah, yes, and they shall come. They shall come. Yes, that light will shine into their hearts. That light will have that effect. And they shall, yes, not only see the light, but hear the voice of God. And so as we read just now for our text, oh, what a mercy if God has commanded the light to shine in our hearts. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, so he could speak that which he'd handled, tasted, and felt. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake, for God who commanded. The light to shine out of darkness, and hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the light of the knowledge. Ah, yes, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Yes, the glory of God, which is Christ, is it not? The glory of God. Yes, I and my Father are one. And Christ came down, the eternal Son, the Son of God. Certainly, and blessed be God that it was so, took not on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood, made like unto his brethren, made under the law, to satisfy it in every jot and tittle, in their room, place and stead. It was so. The law was satisfied. And we read concerning Almighty God, God the Father, when he declared of his Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well pleased. Take note of that, poor sinner. There's nothing in you or I that can please God in of ourselves. But it's only in and through that which Christ hath wrought in a sinner's room, place and stead, where he stood in their place and bore their sin, bore the sword of divine justice, and it satisfied the law in their place. Satisfy the law in their place and their stead. Ah, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Ah, and so have we heard. Have we seen that light? Have we heard the voice? Yes, it's not a literal light, but it is that which opens up to a poor sinner that which is his desperate state. He was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, and he could not know it. Who can know it? He cannot know it until the Word of God comes into the heart like the light, and it shines. And it convinces the sinner of his sin, unmistakably so. It convinces a sinner of his sin. Ah, but not left there. The Spirit. Oh, the blessed Spirit. Yes, will lead that poor sinner to view Christ. He will teach that poor sinner the beauty of Christ and the fullness that resides in Christ. For the worst of sinners, the fullness of that offering of himself. Yes, and I often quote that which likewise Paul, he spake from experience, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That which is the knowledge of Christ and the grace made known unto poor sinner, that unmerited favour of God through his Son Christ. Ah, yes, that worst of sinners, the most deep dyed of sinners, the Marys and the Manassas, and all that might be now to say, I. Yes, I. The poor sinner. And ah, oh, yes, and it reminds me of something that was in the first hymn we had. Yes, before all the worlds, the glorious plan. That plan was not an afterthought. It wasn't an afterthought. Almighty God knew that man would sin. Before all the worlds, the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three. Yes, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three yet one, one yet three. The mystery of godliness. Man tries to delve into it. Ah, yes, and he comes up with this and that. But what a mercy. Ah, all that the Father give it to the Son. Yes, it was drawn up, that plan, that lambs of life between the three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But we read this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not one shall be left out. Not one shall be lost. And the blessed Spirit will work in the heart of this one and that one, as it was so with Saul. To change the heart, yes, reveal to them what their need is, and reveal to them Christ. Astonished angels. Yes, going back to the verse again, before all worlds the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. Astonished angels stand amazed that Christ should die for man. This proves the eternal love of God, who gloried in his plan. Ah, Saul was one amongst those, his name was inscribed in that Lamb's Book of Life. Ah, yes, and it was, he was one. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore loving kinds have I drawn thee. And oh, does it bring you to this? Ah, yes, is my name recorded there? Is my name recorded there? Have a little hope that my name might be recorded there, that it might be made known unto me, yes, as it was made known unto the Apostle Paul, the beauty of Christ, whereby he could declare the beauties of Christ. Ah, is that your desire? Is it mine? The apostles brought to this, it must be reality, not theory, reality. And perhaps like this, he could say with one, give me Christ or else I die. But oh, you read his epistle to the Philippians, and I've often thought of that chapter there. Yes, he could speak of his pedigree, his upbringing. Ah, but do you come like this, like the apostle? Some of us, we have parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, and perhaps going back many generations, that have been found in the house of God. Yes, that time came. They were brought into the flock of Christ. They were wrought upon by the Spirit. Ah, yes, and they died. And were laid in the grave with a hope, a good hope. And perhaps you've seen those laid in the grave with a good hope. Ah, perhaps it raises up that in your heart. Ah, shall I be found amongst them? Shall I be found amongst such a favoured people? Loved from all eternity. Ah, yes, wrought upon by the Spirit. And having Christ revealed to them. Ah, the desire of the apostle. Yes, he was brought to this. He saw that we don't despise our upbringing. Don't get me wrong in that. I'm thankful that I was brought up under the sound of the gospel. But don't rest upon that. Don't rest upon that. If we rest upon that, we shall fall short. We shall come short at last. But what a mercy it stirs up in your heart, this desire, that I might know these things in the truth of them. And the divine reality of them, to the joy and rejoicing of my soul. I might be brought to the reality of them that, ah, yes, in that day, I shall be found likewise. At the end of my days, upon a bed not too short or with a covering too narrow, but a prepared bed. Ah, yes, and clothed with that robe of Christ's righteousness and washed in his precious blood. Without it, poor sinner, yes, without it, how solemn it will be. We shall be found as a goat, as that which we read concerning the goats this morning, we quoted it. But ah, yes, may we find like this desire raised up in our heart, like the apostle. Ah, yes, he had much zeal which was of the flesh, persecuting the church, he said, touching the righteousness which is of the law, in the law, blameless. And in that way he could not be held to blame for anything. Blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, of Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, the faith of Christ. Ah, the faith of Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. Ah, and perhaps you long for that view by faith. Ah, yes, of a suffering Saviour. A suffering Saviour, one suffering in your room, place and stead. Ah, that you might come with that verse. Ah, whereby you can likewise say, why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? You long to come there. That sweet assurance of faith. You plead on for it, poor sinner. We read in the word of God, I will yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. To do it for them. I will yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Yes, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that imputed righteousness. Ah, yes, you've been brought to see all your righteousnesses, like the apostle. His righteousness as a Pharisee of the Pharisees was but as a filthy rag. A filthy rag. But oh, blessed be God, it was stripped from him. It was stripped from him. He's found as that one, yes. I know we quoted, I believe, this morning. But you must be brought to this. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross to cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die, I'll yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If by any means. Well, the Lord knows. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows mine. And certainly as we go on through life, we realise it turns before us. And we don't want, I realise I could be deceived by my own heart, my own deceitful heart, my own treacherous heart. And the apostle felt that likewise, lest he should be found amongst those that preach the gospel to the Gentiles, be found a castaway at last. But that I may know him, that I may know him and be found in him. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Yes, what a mercy if we have then that little treasure. The light has shone. A light has shone. The word has been made precious. And I was reminded of it this afternoon. I believe it was this afternoon. But always have been a word upon which thou hast been caused to hope. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. What a mercy we have one word. Yes, perhaps many can speak of many things. And perhaps you feel, yes, I can't come very far. But what a mercy we have one word, a word which has caused you to hope. I believe that's amongst this treasure that we have in our earthen vessel. It's put there by God. Divinely appointed granted. Yes, Almighty God hath given it, that treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And what a mercy then if that has been imparted, made known, and that has been inscribed upon the flesh it has your heart. By the power of God, the child of God will find this. We are perplexed. Yes, those blessings that follow on from that knowledge of Christ. For it is a path of tribulation. Their faith will be tried. But blessed be God if we have that little treasure, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, the word that came with power and without light. And it we have to confess it came from heaven. And so we may get, and we shall prove, there are those times and seasons we are troubled on every side. That is a path of the Lord's people. Ah, through much tribulation, I know I often speak it, but I've proved it so. I've proved it so. It is a path of tribulation, distresses, perplexities, things hard to be understood, and sometimes are brought near to despair. But not in despair. Why? Because we have that little treasure in our earthen vessel, that the excellence and the power may be of God and not of us. Yes, that word of the Lord, that word of the Lord which has caused us to hope. And you'll have to go back again and again to that word. I know I often quote it, but it's in that 119th Psalm. We quote that verse, so I've got it right. But oh, I've often thought upon it, and I've had to plead it. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The 49th verse. And you'll prove it's this. It's a comfort. It's a comfort in your afflictions. A comfort in your distresses. A comfort in those dark places. If the Lord has spoken, and you have that word which has given a little hope raised up in a poor sinner's heart, there's nothing more valuable. Yes, the world has his things which he lays treasure to, and he puts a price on it, and he thinks it's wonderful. But these things are greater than any blessing that we may receive here below that's just for time. These are eternal. These things are eternal. Moth and rust will not corrupt them. They're heavenly. Ah, they're heavenly. And yes, what a mercy. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word, yes, that word has quickened. Ah, you'll find, yes, what a mercy when you plead that word again. Ah, and the Lord is pleased to speak. The Lord is pleased to draw near. Yes, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Yes, and then we have that chapter, the next chapter. Ah, we have no continuing city here. Yes, we have no continuing city here. In the closing verses of the chapter 4, we read this: for our light affliction, our light troubles, our troubles for the moment, our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then this, yes, it is a vale of tears. Ah, yes, and going back to that which we tried to speak this morning. Ah, yes, and that even regarding the sheep and the goats, and that regarding the end of the sheep and the goats. But oh, what a mercy. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Ah, that one, that expected end. And what is that expected end? A prepared place for a prepared people. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. Oh, blessed be God. What a mercy it is so. The prospect of the wicked, how solemn. How solemn. A place where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. Ah, yes, we have our light afflictions, our troubles and our sorrows and our distresses. They are but light compared to what our sins deserve. But one that has borne the sin of many has gone to prepare a place for them. Gone to prepare a place for his sheep. Yes, and as we read in that chapter 5, ah, yes, and if I can lay my eyes on those words. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, we know that no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ah, yes, and it goes on. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, reconciled to God through Christ. Ah, yes, reconciled to God through Christ. Ah, one that truly did offer himself, and bore the sin of many as that spotless lamb. And we'll close with these words at the end of the second chapter of the first epistle, General of Peter. For he even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Waitley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there will be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Charles Woolboys is expected to preach and to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us now close with hymn 539. Christians, rejoice and sing your Maker's lovely praise. He is your God and King, ancient of endless days. He lives, he reigns and sits above, the King of kings and God of love. Hymn 539.
Dear Lord, thank thee for that help and, yes, suppressing the headache which we felt would overcome us. And thou didst bless the means used. We thank thee for it. Now we seek thy blessing upon thy word. Yes, that which is sometimes brought forth in much felt weakness, thou canst send it forth by thy almighty power to do some poor sinner good. May it please thee, attend thy word by the blessed Spirit, and may it truly accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. Yes, and may there be a crumb that may have fallen from the Master's table for one or another that confesses they are no more than the dog that returns to the vomit. They feel so unworthy, but oh, a word unto a poor trembling one that feels he's no more than that earthen vessel. Yes, hardly fit for the Master's use. But oh, what a mercy when thou dost pour into our earthen vessel a little of that treasure from thy heavenly storehouse. May it please, it might be that even this night unto one or another, that which thou dost bestow, all that which thou dost bestow out of the bounty of thy goodness and thy mercy and thy salvation. And so we plead, do likewise cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do take us now to our destinations in peace and safety. May there be something which remains. Something that remains. That we might find, like the bread cast upon the waters, it's found after many days. And so now we plead. Do watch over us each in all that concerns us. And if we're spared to the morrow, go before us each, manage all, by the way and to the end. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.